Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Friday, April the 12th, and we are just rolling along as we move toward probably one of the most important events in the history of the United States. And that's Monday, and Monday is the first day of Donald Trump's trial. The trial which I know he thought that maybe he could avoid, that maybe he could push off indefinitely. But it's not working out that way. That's just not how it's going. And in fact, Donald's had three failed attempts to delay the trial this week. And in each instance, the judge didn't go into any lengthy conversation or even written explanation. He just said, you're going to trial on Monday. You're going to trial on Monday. You're going to trial on Monday. And I think it's safe to say that Donald is going to trial on Monday. So that's the story. Now, it has been pointed out by some people that during the civil trials that Donald was involved in, that he did the same thing. He filed appeal after appeal, and that actually he kept filing these appeals during the trial. Unfortunately for him, it resulted in a $500 million payment to the state of New York. Granted, there's still a shot, you know, like a long shot, that maybe if he begs loud enough that somebody will get rid of that, but don't count on it. And then, of course, there's the $88 million, which is now I think $91 million with interest, that he owes to E. Jean Carroll, a woman who he has never even met, never heard of her, doesn't know who she is even now. She's just somebody who somehow got into his pocket for $91 million, but he doesn't know how it happened. And I think that's sort of going to be the play that he's going to attempt here as well, except he's got a little problem. First, he has to sit in that courtroom every single day. While the trial is going on, Donald has to be there. And in fact, not only does he have to be there, but somebody is going to say to him, sit down in your chair. So Donald isn't going to be bossing anybody around. He is going to be following orders. Now, we also know he'll probably be screaming and swearing and calling people names. But you know all of this works against a defendant in a criminal trial, especially when you're calling names to the judge, the man who has to make decisions about your life, about what evidence goes in on the trial, about how all these different things are managed within the courtroom. I guess in Donald's case, he probably thinks something like this. If I really make this guy crazy, he'll do something so awful that I can then go to the appeals court and say, look what this crazy judge did. And he'll think that maybe that gives him a chance. Because one thing will not give him a chance, and that's the evidence. The evidence appears to be not only rock solid, but we're also being told by some people who seem to know that there is additional evidence that we all have never seen that is even more damning than what has already been put out to the public. I think that Donald is in some serious trouble, and I think he knows he is. But I guess he thinks that there are all these escape routes. For example, if things got really bad, he could just jump up and say to his lawyers, "You're fired," and then turn to the judge and say, "I don't have any attorneys. The trial's over." Don't laugh. That is definitely a Donald play. That's what he does. You know how he fires everybody anyway. He fires everybody and he sues everybody. So why not fire the lawyers, claim that they're horrible, and then demand another year to find a lawyer? Now, you know the judge isn't going to go for that. It's just not going to happen. But he's going to try everything. I sort of thought he would try something today. I know he took a break yesterday after he had his three losses Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but I kind of thought maybe today he would try something. Just throw something out there and take his chance on a Friday ahead of the beginning of the trial and see if somebody would grab it. And I guess in the end he decided maybe he's going to wait till next week to act even crazier. He couldn't be any crazier, but he might think he could be crazier. Donald has very high regard for Donald. He really believes in himself. That is for sure. You got to give that to him. Of course, so did his idol, Adolf Hitler. Also had great regard for himself. But somehow these people who think that they can control the world, somehow they often find out that it is not that simple. And as far as thinking that you could just back down and be humble and get people to love you, well, Donald doesn't even understand what that means. And that's kind of a good thing. It's good that he doesn't know what it means. Because if he did, it's really the one thing that always scared me with regard to Trump. I was always fearful that Trump would step up, act right for a month, and people would look at him and say, "Yeah, the man's not that bad. What people say about him, just not that horrible." But as it turns out, he's not capable of doing that. We've now learned that for sure. He cannot act right. He cannot get himself under control. He cannot do the kinds of things that would make people think that he's just a regular guy. He wants to come across as a raving lunatic. Somehow, in his mind, being a raving lunatic is what could get him what he wants, which at this point appears to be his freedom. Get out of jail. Stay out of jail. That's Donald's main objective. I don't think money is the issue. I do think he's broke. I've always said that. I'm sure that Donald Trump is broke. It doesn't mean he doesn't have some money in his pocket. I understand. He's probably got a credit card and he can go to the ATM and all that. But as far as actually having net worth, I don't think that's possible. I think anybody who is watching right now here or anybody just walking down the street, for the most part, has probably got a higher net worth than Donald Trump. And you know, he has sued people who have said that he's broke. I mean, he won't bother me. He looks for people, you know, big, important people to go sue. And then he sues them, and then he loses. I mean, he loses every time. He gets nowhere. He loses elections. He loses lawsuits. He loses the defense against people who say he has defamed them. He loses always. He's a loser. And it's so ironic that for a guy who claims to be the greatest winner on the planet, it turns out that all he does is lose. There isn't anybody, and I'd love for you to call if you think you've got one, but I'd say there isn't anybody who has got an example of Donald Trump winning. If you think you've got one, you can call me here on air at 314-471-1968. 314-471-1968. And you can try to convince me that there's something that Donald has done that makes him a winner. And, you know, I love the conversation when I listen to people say that during Trump's presidency, the things were so much better than they are today. I have never found anybody that can give one explanation of one thing that was better when Donald Trump was president. Now, I'm going to take an easy one, but I say easy because so many people use this and they're just wrong. So let's try this one. People say that Donald Trump was drilling for so much oil during his presidency that he was encouraging companies to drill and produce oil products, and that as a result, that we became energy independent under Donald Trump. This is a story that Donald tells. This is also a lie. This is 100% untrue. And it's provably untrue, and it's easily provable. So let me give you an example. And by the way, I'll hold off for 1 second. Michael says, yeah, yesterday he said he wouldn't sign a national abortion law. Well, as Michael says, that's a lie. So, you know, anytime that Donald says that he'll do one thing or another, for example, he says he will protect Obamacare and make it better. That is what you call desperation, and it's a lie. He thinks, in fact, I heard him say it. After he said that, he said, you know, Obamacare is terrible. I can make it so much better. Well, sure, all along that's what he said, that he would end it and he would put another health care program into effect. He doesn't have another health care program. He never did. Every story he tells is just that. It's just a story. Because he only knows how to lie. I remember just a little while ago when he came to us with this story about the bond and all the money he had. Well, I knew that was a lie. I said, right here, it's a lie, because he's always telling a lie. I mean, when he looks at you and tells you this is what's going on, you know it's a lie. Now, I thought he might get some money from some illegal source, like Vladimir Putin, that kind of a thing. Well, as it turned out, he got it from this Don Hankey, and we don't know yet what that means. We don't know. One thing we do know, he didn't have $400 million to put down in front of the court to back up this bond. He was in no position to protect himself with the money so he could file his appeal and move forward. That was never going to happen. One way or the other, turns out it's this Hankey guy. And in the meantime, there are so many things that are being looked into relative to that bond. One of which I already mentioned yesterday, which is that Hankey admitted that he was ready to come up with the $450 million bond and told Trump that at the very time that Trump was telling the court, can't get a bond. Then when the court lowered it, well, then Hankey was glad to only have to come up with $175 million instead of the $450 million, or really $500 million with the interest. But the point is, it's just always a lie. That's why he had to pay the $500 million in the first place, because he couldn't stop lying to insurance companies, to tax authorities, to everybody in sight, including even his books are a lie. It's all fake. I mean, and it's so funny because here's the guy who calls everything else fake. He says everything's fake, and yet it's he who is fake. And that's actually not shocking at all, because it's something that, you know, the psychologists sort of expect people to do that. And again, I want to point out clearly, I'm no psychologist. My PhD work is in educational psychology. That's not psychology. I am no psychologist. I know something about motivation. I know something about intrinsic motivation. I know something about self-efficacy and the people who have written about it. But I don't know the first thing about psychosis. And believe me, if you're dealing with Donald, you'd better know about psychosis, because this is a psychopath. This is a very sick man. And I have to admit, I am very sorry for him as a sick man. I mean, I would never mock him. I don't like making fun of him, really. I like making it clear how dangerous he is to the country, sure. But I hope that after he gets convicted and sentenced, I hope that the system finds a way to get him some help. And I also have to admit, he's probably happy the way he is. He probably likes being Donald Trump, because he doesn't really know what that means, I don't think. I think if we talked to Mary Trump, we'd have a better idea of what it does mean and what's going on in this guy's head. But here, we could just look at him, and as it stands right now, he's gaining weight rapidly. He is lost in his speech. I mean, when he talks, he doesn't even know where he's going or what he's talking about. He slurs words. He gets mixed up. He does all the same things that he says Joe Biden is doing. And I'll certainly admit that Joe Biden has some issues. He's 81 years old. So he's got some issues, sure. But most of the people that deal with him have all said that when it comes to these meetings he's in, he's very sharp He's very aware. He's very informed, well-read. And don't forget, when it comes to foreign policy, on top of having this awareness and experience, he's also got connections to people all over the world who like him. Now, Donald Trump has a group of people around the world who like him too. That is a fact. Viktor Orban, autocrat from Hungary. Kim Jong-un, crazed dictator in North Korea. And by the way, Kim really mocks Trump, but he will sort of hug him up in public and he'll go along with a lot of things with him, but he does mock Trump. He does. And you know, by the way, I think if you've followed Trump at all, he hates to be mocked. He despises it. He doesn't like a joke. Don't make fun of him. He hates it. Well, that's Donald Trump, and that's what we're dealing with. A man who, as Michael also points out here, always points out that he's got a program coming that he will unveil to us in 1 week. And there's never a program. There's nothing there. We have listened to this for 4 years of his presidency. Next week, he's going to tell us what he's going to do. But he never tells anybody because he doesn't know what to do. You know, at one time, Donald did, or I shouldn't say did one thing right. No, he almost did something right. Almost. There was an article in Barron's magazine, and the magazine wrote about the idea of issuing 100-year bonds. It had already been done by some other countries, small ones, but they had issued these 100-year bonds. And the reason they did it was really pretty clear and also very smart. If you've got a house that costs a lot of money, and you've got a mortgage, you want to pay the least interest on that mortgage possible. And so Donald read this article about the 100-year bonds and said, it's a pretty good idea, 100-year bonds. Because, first of all, our interest rates were so low, which had nothing to do with Trump. He was benefiting from a 45-year decline in interest rates from the peaks in 1980. And of course, it continued into Biden's presidency. But the point is that he read this article, or somebody told him about it. I'm sure somebody told him about it. He doesn't read. But at any rate, he found out about it, and he did say, we should do this. Because, first of all, I guess as a real estate person, he probably understood that if you can get a low-cost mortgage, then that's good. Do you know how many years from the time that that article came out that we had low interest rates all the way into Biden's presidency when we could have done this? I mean, the value is so simple. If you do it and you lock in the money that you have to pay back for 100 years at 2.5%, well, that makes you a genius. Yeah, we owed $30+ trillion, and the United States, our debt is in such demand. People want to buy our debt. It's in such demand that we could have sold those bonds. Numerous times we could have sold those bonds to the world, and our total debt could have been locked up in these 100-year bonds at 2.5%. End of story. We would have been in a position with so much liquidity to do anything we wanted. It really would have been incredible. And Trump repeated this from wherever he got the information. But that's where it ended. He just said the words. He didn't understand that you have to implement these words. And we never did a thing. Nothing. Zero. And by the way, if you would like to read about this, you go to my website, which is talkstl.net. And that is the website for Showdown Something's Happening. Go to that website, talkstl.net, and then go to the reading room and scroll down, and you'll find the article about the 100-year bonds. Now, you can't do that today. Today, you're going to look at 5% for sure. You try to do that now, you're going to pay 5% on any kind of long-term bonds. And it could even be higher than that because bond prices are a problem. They're going down and interest rates are up. And I mentioned this the other day that everybody was talking about lower interest rates, but that our 30-year bond simply didn't want to go down. And sure enough, this week, there was a giant jump in 30-year interest rates. Now, not enough to be like 1980. It's not like that. But they jumped up pretty strong, pretty big. On top of that, sort of an aside to all of this, but important for what's going on in the world, is that J.P. Morgan, which is one of our biggest banks, our most important banks, came out with their earnings today, and their earnings were very good. Excellent earnings. Better than expected. Only problem is J.P. Morgan fell 5%, and that put the stock down maybe $14, $15 a share. Despite this great news on earnings, I only say that to warn people not to follow the news as if that's some easy equation for understanding what's going to happen in the economy. And don't believe all of this talk about interest rates, because you only have to watch one thing. Watch long-term bond rates. Because if long-term bond rates are going up, that's the cost of money. That's the issue. What the Fed is doing is really very meaningless. And I say that truly. It has an impact when the Fed is either putting money into the system or taking it out. But I am trying to just let you understand here that the Fed right now is, you know, taking money out of the system because, you know, they had pumped all that money in, and they've been taking money out as the markets have been going up, and they're still basically up. I mean, it was pretty weak on Wall Street today. You know, the S&P was down 700 points equivalent, and that's a pretty sharp drop. That was along with, you know, the J.P. Morgan story, and everybody's looking at those interest rates. And that's a factor, but everything, the market is still very close to the high. So it's not the end of the world yet. And I do worry that all of this could have a negative impact on Joe Biden Because you know people think that everything that goes wrong is Joe Biden's fault, and everything that goes right, they believe that it's something that Donald Trump instituted like in his dreams. Because he never did anything except for give money to billionaires in tax cuts. It's the only thing he ever did. He instituted some tariffs. Not a very smart thing to do, as we in history all know. Those tariffs back in 1930, that's part of what put the United States into the Great Depression. The Smoot-Hawley tariffs. Bad business. It's a tax on us. It's not helping to diminish other countries' income. That's not, and anyway, why would you want to? It's really not what it's about. I know that Trump thinks he can punish people, but actually he'd just be punishing you. But when Trump had the opportunity to do something that would have been revolutionary in our economic system, he repeated the words that he heard from somebody else and then did nothing. Absolutely zero. So we've got all this debt and we are at the whim of the marketplace. Because if the rates go up, our costs will go up. If we had a 100-year mortgage at 2.5% and we could just keep paying it for 100 years, we'd be long gone and so would our kids and we'd be fine. That 30-some trillion dollars wouldn't be bothering anybody. We'd just pay it every month. But that's an if that we can't go back to. The markets have long gone away from that one. But at 4:33 in the afternoon, I'll tell you one thing you can't get away from, and that is the fact that dinner is coming. And if you're thinking about dinner, you've got to be thinking about Wendy's. Wendy's is in Chesterfield Valley, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. The food is great. I love the baby back ribs and the onion rings, but other people, you know, love the smoked meat and the wings and the patty melts, the cheeseburgers, the pizza. Gotta love pizza, right? And just great food, great people, and all you have to do is walk in and ask for Ben. And that's such a good thing because you might be an outcast, but you go in and buy yourself some dinner, you can buy yourself a friend. Ben will be your friend. No, it's a great restaurant. You can't go wrong at Wendy's. 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. Try Wendy's. Now, when it comes to jewelry, 4506 Hampton, that is Jewels on Hampton. My friend Al and his son AJ, really great jewelers. They've been around a long time. They do a great job. People love them. And they can design jewelry for you. They can produce the designs that you want done. They'll buy and sell coins and jewelry at really good prices for the public. They're just a great jewelry store. I can tell you when I go there, there are always lots of people around inside browsing and doing business. Lots of parking there. Not a problem. It's Jewels on Hampton. It's 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. And I can tell you right now, you'll love Al and you'll love the jewelry. Finally, when it comes to your clothing, you cannot beat the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, Forsyth and Central, and it is terrific. I can tell you that the ties are phenomenal. I'm wearing another new tie today. I didn't just buy this tie. I have new ties all over the place that I've never worn. At $5 a tie, when I see one I like, I just buy it. $5 for great silk ties and just beautiful ties. So here I am with one of my brand new ties on. I've never worn this before, but I've had it for probably a year, I would guess, but I've never worn it. But that's it, St. Louis Suit Company. You can go in and buy clothing and really, you know, you can let it sit for a while and wear it later, buy more. The prices are terrific. You think I'm kidding. I'm really not. I can say this. If you're colorblind like I am, you can go into the St. Louis Suit Company and they'll not only sell you the clothes, but they will tell you how to match it, because they tell me all the time. I know exactly what to wear, even though I have to admit I can't tell the colors most of the time, but I do know the right things to wear. So you'll never see me offending you here with these ties, colorful ties, nice ties. But I'm pretty much under control because they help me there at the St. Louis Suit Company on Forsyth and Central in Clayton. Jay and Nick are there all the time and will help you for sure. And they've got all kinds of great suits, shirts, everything. Just not the Chucks. I got my Chucks that I wear with my suits. I'm so happy that I don't have to wear business shoes anymore, that these Chucks have become fashionable. And it's the end of the story. I just wear them and I love it. You can't get those at the St. Louis Suit Company, but you can get everything else. Everything else. Can't go wrong. And if you're getting married or if you're going to a wedding, St. Louis Suit Company is the place to go. They are terrific when it comes to really the wedding apparel. It's good. So you go to Clayton at the St. Louis Suit Company. They've been there for 29 years. Well, I think I'm going to talk to you about the Russian talking points. And by the way, you can call me at 314-471-1968. And we can talk about Donald Trump and his desperation. I do have to admit, I enjoy his desperation at this point. I would not enjoy it if he were out of the picture politically. Then I would hope that he would just get all the help he needs and everybody would leave him alone. I just want to see a political win for democracy. That's all. And I can tell you that you know, one of the things, for example, that we've been working on over at school is what we're going to be doing next year when it comes to this election. We found a really great map store online, and they have these gigantic blank American maps. And what you do is you get them laminated, and then you can use dry erase markers, and then you can write in for each of the states how many electors they've got. That is, when you're doing this the right way. I'm not talking about the fake electors. I'm talking about the real ones. So you write in the true number of electors, which I'm pretty sure people know that that's the number of seats that you have in the House of Representatives plus two senators. And that'll tell you your electors. And at any rate, you mark in the electors, and then you start reading the polls. And then based on the polls, you can start assigning the votes and the electors across the country. And by the time you get from the beginning of school around August until November, which is about 12 weeks, by that time, you could be right before the election, you could be in a position to judge, to make a guess as to where that everything would land. Now, I have to say that, you know, it's all in the states when it comes to the presidential election. It's not what we do. We look at a poll and say, well, Joe Biden's ahead this week, 48-42, you know, whatever the number is. And as a result of that, it's going to be a landslide. Well, maybe, because you have to get really high with those numbers. You have to be close to maybe a 6-8% lead, which is a landslide in America. You have to be at that level in order to be sure that it will pull you into a victory in the Electoral College. Other than that, you really got to look state to state and be sure. So we're going to do that. We're going to have the whole school doing it. And we're just going to look at polls and think about, you know, where everything seems to be landing. And I think it's going to be a very interesting project for our school. Now, I also have to say that I do believe that this will end up a landslide election. And I think that is despite the fact, maybe even because, the Russians are really pushing hard with all of the propaganda that they can to try to push the American public into voting for Donald Trump. And the funny thing about that is that there was a time, and it might have been 3 weeks ago or so, when Putin said that he would like to see Joe Biden win. And that was such a silly statement, as if that was kidding anybody. You know that's not what he wants, because he doesn't want NATO. He wants Trump to walk into the presidency and cancel NATO immediately. That's what he wants. You know, while everybody's out here talking about abortion, the real danger to us all truly would be the end of NATO. Now, I don't think you have to worry about it, because I think it's in the bag. Donald Trump is going to win. And it may be that the win is because of a couple of things. One is women's health issues, and two is this Russian thing. Because, you know, you can really overplay your hand. You can really do way too much to the point where everybody can see exactly what you're up to. And I do believe that the Russians are going to push this to the limit. I think they're going to do everything possible, because I think when it comes to desperation, I think that Vladimir Putin has the same kind of desperation as Donald Trump. And I'll show you why. Trump's desperation is that he goes to jail. And he doesn't want that. I don't think he cares a whit about becoming president of the United States again. He just wants to stay out of the Gray Bar Hotel, period. So that's one thing on Trump. Now, let's look at Putin. Putin right now has got a little momentum going in Ukraine, and he is desperate for that. not because, as he says, that NATO is coming to get him, because that couldn't be further from the truth. There is no way that the United States and Europe wants to destroy Russia. That is not anything that we're even considering. On the other hand, we do want to stop Russia from taking over Ukraine. Because if they got Ukraine, it wouldn't be 5 minutes before they'd be going after Poland or Lithuania or Latvia or Estonia or all of them, every one of them. And you certainly don't want to have to deal with that problem, because the next thing that would happen is that China would say, well, if Putin can get away with all that, we can certainly go get Taiwan back. So Donald Trump opens the world up to unbelievable danger. But it's Vladimir Putin who is desperate, because he knows that the United States passes this bill that we need to pass to send $60 billion of military equipment to Ukraine. If that happens, it is the end of Putin. Because I can assure you that Zelensky and his people are very unhappy about what's going on here. There have been attacks night after night against Ukraine by the Russians, which in fact Vladimir Putin is bragging about right now. But he's bragging about it coming from a position of total desperation, because he knows what the United States and Europe is capable of doing to him without ever attacking Russia. Because I can assure you that if Zelensky gets his hands on some of the weapons that he's hoping for, he's coming after Russia. I don't think that he's going to hesitate for a moment, because he hasn't hesitated up until now. He's already sending drones, homemade drones, from Ukraine into Russia. And they're getting close to Moscow, a couple hundred miles each away from Moscow. And they cause damage. They're a problem. They're trouble. And that's without the United States aid. So I'm just saying that while Donald Trump is desperate to figure out what to do next week when the trial starts, at the same time, Vladimir Putin is desperate. He is desperately flailing around in Europe, hoping to do enough damage as quickly as possible, because he knows what's coming. We are in the middle of a fight, a deadly fight in Congress over this giant foreign aid bill. This is the end of Mike Johnson's speakership if he allows this thing to go through. Donald doesn't want it to go through. And Donald's friends don't want it to go through. And that's the point on this Russian talking points. They are spreading the word with the help of our congressman and with the leadership of Donald Trump. And again, I point out that our people are not stupid. There are some people who get sucked into this because they're not even thinking. But there are many people who recognize what Donald is doing by trying to control Mike Johnson. And those people are as worried about NATO being torn down as maybe some of our top diplomatic people who know for sure the impact of something like that. So what we're really looking at here is an effort by Russia to control what's going on in the United States, but not very brilliantly. In fact, with no real ability to manipulate this. They're not smart. They're not careful. They're like Donald. They just throw things around and they hope that people will just buy it. And that's the problem. It's not smart enough what they're doing. They are absolutely allowing people to see directly what they're trying to accomplish. And there are some people in this country who are afraid of it. Very afraid. I mean, it may be John Bolton running around screaming about NATO, which he is. Rightfully so. I mean, Bolton's wrong about everything. He's right on NATO, though. And I can tell you, he's telling the story. But the public isn't hearing Bolton. That's not what works. But the public does hear when things are said that are so obviously not the American point of view. And that's why I've never feared this foreign intervention. I just don't think it's meaningful in terms of its impact, its effectiveness, except now. Because now there's something else going on. Now you've got Donald Trump playing the useful idiot for Vladimir Putin. And he's got maybe 40% of the public that will listen to him and not even think about what it means. Not even think about the comparison to 1930, 35, 40, Hitler trying to get power, not having a majority support, but still managing to weasel his way in anyhow. That's Donald Trump, but he's long past that now. He's on trial and he's going to be convicted. And plus, there's one other problem, which I talked about at length yesterday, but I really do believe we have to say it all the time and make sure that everybody understands. Women's health care, not abortion, women's health care is the issue that is going to drive the victory in 2024. Women aren't playing here. They know what's on the line. They know the stories. They understand the meaning of those stories. They understand when they see that Amanda Zarowski advertisement on TV, they understand it. It resonates well. Here's a lady who was not trying to get an abortion, who was trying to live. She was trying to have her child and live. She didn't get her child, but she did live. She tried. But she couldn't get the help from doctors because they feared that they might go to jail. Because somebody would look at them and say, that person is attempting to perform an abortion. That's what this is about. Making false accusations against doctors when they're trying to provide health care for women in America. And I promise you, women are afraid. They really are. And the numbers are there. 60% to 35%. That is not just a landslide. That's beyond anything that we have ever seen in this country. This man has lost women in a way that you just can't do if you want to be president of the United States. I mean, he's out here talking about now how he would never get rid of Obamacare. And he thinks that somehow somebody is going to buy this crazy story of his. Because at the same time he says that he would never get rid of it, after he has said for years that that's all he wants to do, but he knows the polling on it now, so he says the opposite. And Joe Biden's going to play all that other tape, so it doesn't really matter. But Donald is saying, I would never get rid of Obamacare. It's wonderful. Well, it's bad. Then he says it's bad. He says, in fact, it's very bad. He says, but I'll fix it. Sure he will. You know that old story of his? I alone can do this. And I love when he says that, because the truth is, nobody alone can run the United States of America. It takes tens of thousands of people that are in our civil service system, along with government officials who are put there based on political appointments. And these people who, you know, they're devalued as the deep state, which I wish nobody would say that. And the reason I wish they wouldn't say it is because I always feel embarrassed for people who say it. It's all these tens of thousands of people who run the country, who make it work. Our government is very effective. It works terrific. In fact, it's exactly what we need at all times. And that's why, you know, I feel very comfortable saying that I am a far left radical. I'm a radical leftist. Because I believe that government involvement in all of our lives is essential. I think government works terrific. I think government solutions are phenomenal. Doesn't mean we have to allow the government to do things that are wrong or bad or harmful. No, just make decisions. Make good ones. Let the government do things that will work, and stop them from doing things that won't. Don't let the government ban books. That would be a bad thing to do. Don't let the government of Missouri try to close libraries, which they have tried. They have tried. But don't let them. What government can do, for example, is pass a child care credit that can lower child poverty dramatically. The government is very good at that. We have something called the FDIC. It protects your money at the bank. You want to get rid of that? Trust me, you don't. Just ask the people in 1930. They will tell you. There are a lot of great things that the government can do. We started something recently, the government agency that protects consumers against bad policies from banks and all kinds of fraud, Consumer Protection Agency. It's great. It's a terrific idea. Just go out and check. Over the weekend, go on to the Google machine and read about Project 2025. If that doesn't scare you, because that's Donald Trump and his nutcases, if that doesn't scare you, nothing will. Government is great. When it does the right thing, when it does the wrong thing, fix it. Okay, I have to get out of here for the weekend. Remember, the St. Louis Suit Company, Wendy's, and Jules on Hampton. You can't go wrong there. They won't hurt you. Nor will the government. Okay, I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Showdown. Good night.